could I just take a few minutes at the outset to talk about why we requested this call?
Sure.
Would that be okay? Okay. And I really want to thank you for responding to our request for this call on such very short notice at a time when I know how busy you all are. It's greatly appreciated. I thought it would be helpful if I took a couple of minutes to explain what motivated the call and what we're hoping that we might be able to accomplish. So the real primary driver for the call is that at this critical time in the project, we want to have a chance to talk with you about whether there are ways in which we could be more helpful. And I'd like to return to that in a minute or so. But before I do, we have some questions and concerns that I just want to put out there on the table. To start with, I would greatly appreciate a better understanding of sort of the behind the scenes in how the drafts are being edited. You know, for example, I'm still not really clear on who holds the pen, who reviews and assesses comments, and we sense from the comments that we're reading on the CCWG email and in chats during the last several calls that there's some concerns about how those decisions are made, and we'd just like to better understand this ourselves. Now, I have to share that we have more specific concerns that we've commented on drafts several times prior to publication of the third draft and post-publication of the third draft, and our comments are not addressed in the revised materials we've seen. And we want to understand who makes the decision with respect to our comments and why the comments aren't reflected. And I just also want to be very clear, this is not about pride in editing, because our comments are only comments and we could be wrong. But it's more fundamentally that if we don't understand why our comments are not taken, we don't know whether we're misunderstanding something that the group has reached consensus on, or whether we're just not communicating with you all effectively. And that's really difficult for us to assess when we have no idea. It's almost a black hole. We put the comments in, and then we sort of have to discover at a later time whether something is happening. By the way, I just got a note from Rosemary that she's having difficulty with the phone number. I'll try to reach out to her in a minute and see if we can link her in. So I just wanted to put, so without that feedback, we're kind of in the dark about, is it that somebody didn't read it? Is it somebody read it and decided not to do it? Who's making the decisions and why? And are we failing in our role in communicating with the team about why we think a comment is important? And are we misunderstanding something, and that's not why you're not taking a comment? We also would really like greater clarity about what we should post to the broader list. On several occasions now, we've requested that our comments get posted, but they haven't been. And yet, when we've gone directly to post something on the list, it's caused concerns and more chatter, and we certainly don't want to do that. We don't want to do anything that puts more pressure in an already pressurized situation. At the same time, we view the group as a whole as our client. And so we feel at times that it's important for them to understand how we're viewing a particular issue. I want to also note that we have some concerns about the certification rule, which it seems that some think means that we shouldn't read drafts or comment on drafts unless we're asked. And that's not our understanding of what was intended, nor would we ever agree to work in that way. And I want to explain that. We understand that the certification process was designed to prevent sort of the chaos of CCWG members and participants requesting that we weigh in on something where the group and the chairs hadn't yet really decided that that was ripe and needed our assessment. And we're greatly in favor of the certification process for that purpose. But as you know, as lawyers and professionals, we have to be able to make judgments about when our client needs to hear from us and what to review and how to participate to be prepared to offer you informed advice in an effective manner. That is the heart and soul of what it means to be a professional, and it is key to the attorney-client relationship and our duty as attorneys to the CCWG. We also, I mean, there's more that we'd like to understand. We'd like to understand what you expect in the implementation phase and how that will work and what you will need from us. That's so that we can
prepare. Hi, this is Thomas, sorry.
Hi, Thomas. That's so we can prepare for our own, you know, internal processes. We have resources that we have to make sure are available for you if you need us, but if you don't need us, we have other projects that we have those resources working on. So we'd like some understanding about that. Now, at the end of the day, I keep trying to reiterate that our goal is to provide you with high-quality legal advice in as efficient a manner as possible. We understand the challenge and the concerns around expenses. There are challenges in advising in this bottoms-up consensus-based approach that you are all very well aware of. But I don't think that the solution is to sideline your legal advisors through a broad interpretation of the certification process, which, as I've said, I don't think is consistent with our duties as counsel to CCWG, nor would we agree to abide by. And finally, we'd like guidance on Marrakesh. We need to know in advance what you will need, and we do not think participation by phone will be effective. So those are sort of our issue list. You may have other issues, and happy to talk about them. In the meantime, I'm wondering if somebody could try to connect Rosemary in, and I can hear you.
I'm on now.
Oh, great. Hi, Rosemary.
It took a while. I had the wrong number. I called three times and kept getting asked if I wanted a Bahama cruise. It was the weirdest thing. So I must have copied it down wrong.
Okay.
But I was in. I got in about a few sentences in.
Okay, thank you. So that's sort of what's driving this. We want to meet your expectations. At the same time, we feel like we need more information about how this is working so that we understand how to best support you. And we certainly don't want to do anything that is adds tension into the mix. That's not our role as lawyers. But we did think that these were important issues that we needed to hash out with you.
Okay. Nice list. Thank you. And I appreciate the direct feedback, because I think that's certainly necessary with all this complex process to be able to put issues on the table when they're up there and not circle around, which is only which we'll keep paying anyway in the end. So I think I'm going to try and take your questions one by one. You asked how your comments were taken into account, because in the latest versions you probably have seen some aspects that you commented on the stretch towards the report, and some of this was not reflected. That's correct, right?
Not some of it, most of it.
Most of it. Okay.
And I think really, when it's not reflected, we don't understand whether we've misunderstood or you've misunderstood and we've miscommunicated what we were trying to do. It's hard for us to feel that we can give you good advice when we make an edit that we think is a no-brainer and it gets rejected. It's like, well,
so,
why?
So the point here is, as we discussed at that point, was that we were on such a stretch for finalizing the report that we tried to keep at bay as much as the smaller edits as possible, and so there was no process to say this comment is rejected. Mm-hmm. It was more, we're trying to focus on anything that we get that is high level enough for us to approve.
Okay, and
all the rest will delay.
And we appreciate that, and that's why we provided comments again after the draft so that they could make it into the next things. But then when we see the annexes circulate and they're still not in it, we understand you're still under pressure, but there comes a point at which we don't know without the communication and the feedback whether you just simply didn't get to it yet, which is, I think, what I'm hearing, or you disagree with it, or someone else is making the decisions, and frankly, this just isn't, you know, high up on the priority list. So having a better understanding of that would be very, very helpful. I would like to know the process, you know, who goes through the comments? Are they discussed with the co-chairs? Is this a staff-driven? Is it something that's done in a committee with discussion back and forth? Let's take this, let's not take that. It's time to focus on this issue or not. How does that work right now?
So, I mean, honestly, I haven't followed close enough on that. And I did have the impression that there was an expectation. I sort of had the expectation that your line edits would be in the proofread versions.
No.
Obviously, that's not the case. I have no idea why, and I haven't been following that closely enough to provide you any answer on that.
So who is responsible for the proofread additions? Who are the people who are participating?
Well, it's been a staff effort, and it's been a huge effort. So I'm very conscious of the burden it's been upon them, especially around the end of your period. And so, that's the process. Has there been a decision to reject? Not in my opinion.
This is Thomas. Let me just briefly add that we're running through different phases. So obviously, when we tried to get the report out, we did not want to fuel arguments made by some that the report is too bad to go out. And if we confront the group with too many changes, may they be just cosmetic or substantive, we would run the risk of getting too much pushback with the publication. So this is why during the initial publication, we did not really focus on including all the comments received, but just the high-level ones in order to be able to publish. Now, we all have to look at this as an iterative approach. So we had the proofreaders working on the document. In parallel, we had staff analyzing comment, and now we're integrating the comments into the revised draft. And we need, I guess, all staff resources available at the moment in order to ensure that we're getting sufficient support to make all the amendments and get the documents in proper shape to reflect the changes that we're making in the three-hour calls that we're having twice per week. So I would anticipate, just for your information, that we will incorporate substantive legal comments in the last versions after we actually know where the community stands. We can't really afford to get people distracted from the substantive discussion at this point. You know, that's always a risk. And at least in my view, we really need to ensure that we get everyone on the same page for consensus on the major points. And then we will update the report. And in that run through, we're going to honor the comments that you guys made. I mean, certainly this is not satisfactory, but I think we have to find a balance between the workload that staff can take and what can be digested by our group.
That's, and Thomas, I greatly appreciate that. I understand what it's like to run multiple comments through multiple drafts, and it is quite challenging. There are a couple of points that you may want to consider where there's an actually a wrong description of a legal concept in the document that you may want to take on earlier, but I leave that to you. You're the ones who must manage this process. We simply wanted to bring our concerns to your attention. We do think that you should post the comments that we sent yesterday to the list so that the list knows that the lawyers have looked at it and have comments on it. And then and those who want to read through it can be informed by it, and those who don't can ignore it. Some of the comments may inform the substantive kinds of decisions that need to be made, but I'd need to go back through it to point out where those ones are. So, again, we defer to you. You're the ones who have to run this process, but we also feel that we advise the group as a whole, and that the group needs to, you know where our concerns are. I want to raise along those lines. Often, we are not asked to weigh in on an issue, and then a draft comes out and there's something in it, and we just had an occasion with it the other day where I'm trying to remember who it was on in an exchange on the email said, well, the lawyers read the draft, therefore they've opined on the risk. And that is not true. If, you know, you're not asking us to opine on a risk in some circumstances or have even brought it to our attention that something's an issue, it may be in the draft, and we need to make sure that the group doesn't think that, you know, every single word in that draft is something that we've had opined on a risk. I'd leave that to you to decide how to address. And we certainly have not responded in the email list to those kinds of comments because we don't want to cause further problems. We don't want to create more chatter. There's already too much chatter and too much negative chatter. But I just want you to be aware that that's another concern, that there may be a misconception about the level of review that's been given to the third draft by lawyers and the level at which we've opined and weighed in on risks.
That's understood. Go ahead.
I think the third report is out. We've started working on a proofread version that obviously does not take into account all your comments. I think we need to certainly take your point that we need to take your input more upfront rather than and push it to a point where we don't even have time to take them into account later on. The balance that we have to find is how to do that in a manner that does not create an overburden of redo, both on your side, reviewing different versions of the documents, and on the side, on our side, and especially on staff's, integrating very detailed inputs several times with several review cycles when they're already quite overburdened. So I don't know how we could do that. I'm wondering whether, since we're doing recommendation by recommendation now, we could probably basically, as we publish something after first reading, ask for your review at this point and your comments, and integrate them as part of the comments that we receive before second reading. Maybe that would enable for a broader view, and also for something that would be not a huge document with many, many edits at the same point that would be difficult to manage for everyone. I don't know. I'm just putting that proposal here for
comments. I think that's a great proposal. And I think that the last set of comments that we sent on Annex 1 to 4 and 12 was at that point and was designed to do that. So I'm comfortable with that. I absolutely understand how burdened the staff is, but I do caution that the answer to a burdened staff can't be, we'll not deal with the comments from the lawyers.
Thomas, Leon, what do you think about this approach?
I'm perfectly okay with that. And Holly, I agree with you that we shouldn't run the risk of ignoring your comments, and that was certainly never the plan. But we have to do one thing at a time, and I guess that the comments that you made will make its way into the final version of the report. And I guess that the iterative way that Mathieu suggested is a good way to make sure that we get that done.
So I would appreciate some kind of understanding that if we have, for example, suggested that the word sole designator be replaced with empowered community, if it appears substitute to use that term for the unincorporated association that's being created, and then that edit doesn't get made, I would love to have a way to understand what their thinking is so that my next round of edits can reflect a better understanding of what you're doing and how you're thinking about it. So is there some way, I realize this is a burden, but you want our advice, and yet if we don't understand what you're doing, you're not getting our best advice. And someone, I think, needs to tell us, you didn't do this because. It would be so helpful if we could just hear from you why you rejected an edit that we thought was actually substantive. And maybe the answer is, speaking of that stylistic, we don't care if it's the school designator or the empowered community. But right now, the document has both all over it. And we have, that's just one little example, that maybe you're seeing that as non-substantive and we should just shut up and let you call it whatever you want, whenever you want. But as lawyers, we want to see that consistent use of terms, because we think that conveys to the reader that it's the same entity throughout, as opposed to there being this thing called the empowered community in some sections and in other sections, the thing called the sole designator. It's the kind of, if we don't get your feedback, you're going to keep getting the same stupid edits from us that you don't want because we don't understand.
Yes, Rosemary, I guess that's well understood. I suggest that we try to give you that feedback that you're seeking during this iterative approach, so that
I'm sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt. I've been getting cut out of this call every second now, so I've only heard about half of what's been said, and I'm sorry if you said that. I heard that you just wanted to take our comments into this process, and so we would hope to see them, but I didn't hear about the feedback.
So obviously the line is pretty bad. I'm not sure whether I heard exactly what you were saying. My suggestion was that now that we continue to publish the papers recommendation by recommendation, we will make sure that not only we include the updated status of the discussion inside the group, but also include the comments that you've previously made, so that the documents as they go out will include the changes that you suggested, so that you can exactly see how your suggestions have made their way into our documents, and I'm virtually looking at my fellow co-chairs now, but I think we should also document which of the changes have not been accepted, should there be a rationale for doing that, so that you have clarity on what we did and what we didn't do, and whether there was a reason for it or whether it was just an oversight.
I agree with that, Thomas.
That sounds perfect.
Okay, anything else?
So next was implementation work. You were asking what our expectations would be during the implementation.
I have to tell you that we're on these calls, and more is sort of shifted into implementation, which I agree with. I mean, I think the detail, it's unrealistic to think that you can get community consensus around every little detail. And so the more we can put into implementation, I'm fine with. I am a little concerned that we will get into the implementation phase and this same active group who wants to get into great detail will want to have the same kind of process to talk about implementation. It makes no sense. I respect your bottoms-up consensus-driven processes, but at some point you have to say, we've identified the general direction, let somebody else figure out the detail. Otherwise, this is going to just spill on forever. And I'm sure that that's not how the chairs want to, you know, order their lives. I don't think we can make progress in any kind of effective way. And I'm also very conscious about the cost to ICANN as a not-for-profit of the very expensive process from a legal perspective that would entail. So I just wanted to... I really am worried about implementation and whether we're going to have to go through the same kind of group drafting, and it's just, from my mind, a huge mistake if that's where we're going to be.
But Holly, this is Mathieu. We've had a discussion, I think our last coordination call with you was about implementation, and I think we laid out that the idea was that there were groups to oversee your drafting,
mm-hmm.
in order to check it's consistent with the report with the conclusions and recommendations of the group.
Right.
And do you have any impression that it's going to be different?
No, as the groups get larger, as the oversight group gets larger, and brings in all the same, you know, many of the same people. I'm going to be frank. I am concerned about the ability of some people to lift their heads out of the weeds and provide the kind of guidance that's going to be needed in that process.
I understand.
I
have the same concern. I have the same concern.
Okay.
I think there is a challenge in managing these groups and making sure they remain focused on consistency with requirements, as well as with providing guidance, which is basically answering some questions, not from their personal perspective, but from the perspective of what the group was aiming at. And that's going to be a difficult one with the IRP, without a doubt, with the others, certainly as well. But I'm afraid there's no way around this challenge. The experience from many in the community from previous implementation periods where the outcome was so different from what they were expecting. You've had an example during the call the other day with the meeting strategy implementation. You would think it's not hard It's not very technical. It's not very legal. And people felt like it was not what they had agreed on. So they want, they really need to be on board on that.
I'm
aware of the risk and the cost.
Matthew, I understand absolutely, and it is a challenge. And I think, I guess what I'm asking for is that there sort of be continual, I don't know, when there are opportunities to reinforce that when we get to implementation, it's not going to be the same process that, just managing their expectations that it's not going to be the same process that it is now. The lawyers will go off and draft. They will come back with questions. They will come back with a draft for you all to review. But that's how it's going to work. It won't be.
Is that working out well in the CWG?
In the CWG, they have our draft, and we haven't been asked. They haven't commented on it yet. So hopefully it will, but I don't know.
Because if there's a good precedent in the CWG, that's going to be an immensely useful leverage for us.
Okay.
Because there's a common group of people. So I have fingers crossed that it works out all right in the CWG.
Okay, great. I mean, that is helpful. My sense at the CWG is we provided them with a draft. I don't know that anybody's really worked through it yet. And unlike the kinds of issues we're talking about now, where people can have opinions and weigh in and stuff, once you get into that drafting and it's the nitty-gritty, following along is much more difficult. So maybe we're getting some of that sense from the CWG. But we'll get there. I just wanted to put it out there. I wanted to continue to make sure that we're on the same page. Sometimes when in our calls people say, well, let's throw that, we'll deal with it later in implementation, I'm not sure that they understand that implementation is a really hopefully a different process. And not CWG stage 2.
Can I suggest that we try to get this over the line? I don't even want to think about implementation now. I think you're perfectly right. We need to make sure that we establish working methods for the implementation that keep the cost as well as community and lawyers' efforts to a minimum. And that can only be a way where the lawyers work on a version of what they on the basis of information they can find in the report, and then we need a review team. It's basically to ensure that the implementation is done in the spirit of the CCWG deliberations. So they shouldn't renew or the effort or engage in wordsmithing, but just make sure that that we have no disconnect between the group's wishes and the work process. But I understand we really need to streamline that because otherwise it's going to be taking for ages and it's going to cost a fortune.
Agreed. I mean, I think the actual time for us to go and draft this stuff is not where the big money's going to be spent. It's going to be in the back and forth and the endless phone calls and things, and that's what I'm hoping we can avoid. You can lock us in a room and tell us to draft to these points. We can do that pretty efficiently.
Yeah, exactly. That should be the focus.
Okay, so then our last question had to do, before we talk more broadly about it, is there anything we could be doing to be more helpful? Our last question is about Marrakesh. I'm not dying to travel, neither is Rosemary. At the same time, we have real concerns about whether we can be effective by telephone, and so therefore it would be helpful to know what we expect to be on the table to talk about at that face-to-face meeting. And I have a sense that in some ways it's as yet undefined because it depends on where you are in this process. Hopefully this process is over and we are talking about implementation. If we are talking about implementation, we probably need to be there. But I need guidance on you so that we can decide whether we need to get plane tickets.
Okay, so Marrakesh, as you said, there's not everything is set in stone about where we will be at that point. But so far, the way we're looking at this meeting is a focus on kicking off Workstream 2, and that would be scoping discussions, general discussions about the various items of Workstream 2, so that we constitute the groups and launch them. So that's a part of the work where lawyer input should not be necessary, at least. That would be a very bad sign that if we, when we scope issues like diversity, we are already in need of lawyer input right away. And then there's Workstream 1 implementation. But looking at this, I think the only substantial workshop kind of activity we can have would be on IRP, because I am not expecting that we would be, you would be in a position by Marrakesh, I mean, considering the time we need to finalize our report now, plus 6 weeks to produce the community power bylaws, that's not going to be ready in Marrakesh, right? That seems quite unlikely.
A draft could be, but it doesn't, I mean, it's your, you tell us the time frame. Again, I just want to be clear. We're not advocating that you need to have us in Marrakesh, but what we're saying is we think if it's likely that you're going to need lawyers, in person is better than on the phone for that kind of an event.
Yeah.
One thing that we could do at this stage, Massad, just to be, because of uncertainty, is we could make refundable airline reservations, and when you get closer to the date, you could say, no, we don't need you. It may be that what you need if we're doing IRP is me and Ed and not Rosemary. I don't know the answers to all of that, but I just want to make sure that if you need us, we're available. But I don't think that if the answer is we'll have the lawyers on the phone, that that's going to be a good solution. So I think what I'm hearing is that we don't have enough information. And so it's probably wise for us to make reservations with the notion that there's a good chance we'll get to cancel them.
Yeah, and at least that the number of underground lawyers would be smaller than it was previously. I would tend to think that the IRP skill would have the highest probability of being really really highly needed in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the approach you're suggesting is very reasonable, doing these refundable reservations just in case at this point, and then reviewing in 2 weeks' time to see where we are.
Okay, good. I mean, that's good. That's exactly the kind of guidance we just need. So, okay. Rosemary, does that answer your questions on that?
Yes. It sounds like maybe you should book your tickets and I should hold off. The non-refundable tickets are about twice the price, and we can probably wait a little longer. And if it's going to be IRP, I don't know, Holly, if you would rather bring someone from your shop and... you know, I'm happy to sit this one out.
If it's IRP, I think it needs to be in the book.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
If it's the IRP, I think it would need to be me and Edna Schmuffler.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. And so maybe, because that sounds like it's the most likely and the other isn't very likely, maybe I should just hold off. Because as I said, the non-refundable tickets are twice as much, and they're horrible flights. You would end up, if we actually had to fly them,
you'd end up paying for 2.5 days of travel time. It's horrible.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay, I'm going to mute my line again.
Okay. So then the last issue that we had, the bigger picture, is what could we be doing differently to be more helpful to you? I mean, I really sense that the burden on you folks and on staff is significant, both in terms of the time and the effort and also sort of the psychological, challenges of at times dealing with the tensions in the group. And I just want to put out there, if there's some way that we could be acting differently or either in a positive way or refraining from doing something to be more helpful, please let us know.
I guess, Holly, thanks for the offer. I guess we would need to think about that a little more. At least I would need to think about it a little bit more because there's a, things are moving quite a bit. So I think it would be a waste of resources if you tried to comment ad hoc on every suggestion that's circulated. But I guess what would be greatly appreciated is a sanity check on the conclusions that we circulate on the list. So basically after every call, I should start by saying that that we have two readings for each of the topics, and after the first reading, if there are interim findings on a way forward, we would publish that to the list for further discussion. And maybe those summaries you could take a glance at and let us know whether the compromise solutions that we're working on are moving into a direction that is not sustainable.
We really welcome that because that provides an opportunity to just, if we do see a big risk, to let you know. Not that we have seen them, but one of my fears is that we've been really trying to kind of remain silent unless asked, and at times we would be more comfortable with someone saying, yes, we do want to know if you think that there's any significant, big legal issue that we should be cognizant of as we go down this compromise path.
Holly, I have to go off mute, and I end up missing conversation every time when I do that. I would give one example, which is the idea of a two-thirds vote to reject GAC advice. I have real concerns that that's not legal under California corporate law, and I've been wondering when's the time to say that. Wait until we see if it even ends up in the document, which is never clear to me. It's being interpreted. Does it mean that the board must follow the GAC advice unless it has a two-thirds rejection? That's the scenario that would concern me. That's an example of something where actually I just need to be clear. I do have a real concern.
Okay, understood. And can you disclose what the issue with the two-thirds is?
Yes. The board under California corporate law has to be in charge of running the organization. That's how it can exercise its fiduciary duties, and that's a basic requisite of sort of a corporate structure. And if the way it works is that if the GAC is able to come up with consensus advice, that the board can only reject with a two-thirds vote, that means that you could have more than half the board believe that something is not a good idea and not good for the corporation and all of those things and still have to do it. I don't think, Holly, do you disagree? We haven't really had a chance to talk this through. I flagged the issue.
I've always been uncomfortable with that. I am a little bit concerned. I need to go back to your current bylaws. I think there is some current understanding that at a certain point that they will work toward, you know, toward finding a common solution.
Right.
I don't recall whether that two-thirds, but the two-thirds kind
of... Isn't that new? I thought that was new.
I think it's new, but I'm not 100% sure.
So that's an example of something where, you know, we haven't quite been asked, but as we're listening, but we're also not sure where you're going to land, so maybe it's premature to weigh in, and, you know, we don't want to offend the GAC. There's all sorts of politics going on in your group that we don't want to upset.
Sorry for the background noise. I think that's an interesting discussion. It's certainly something that is not new to this GAC proposal. There are other instances in the bylaws where the board's ability to reject something is conditioned upon a two-thirds threshold.
Haven't been asked whether we think all your bylaws are valid, and I will be frank with you.
But that's not our mandate.
Think things, right, exactly. I get
so
that.
I think
so we shut up. But
that, I think that is still a... Because that's already existing in some other places in the bylaws, I don't know how to address that, but I guess the question you would be raising is whether half of the key aspects about policy development process are already flowed in the current bylaws.
Well, I have a suggestion about how we might deal with it. I mean, we could very simply ask Jones Day what analysis they did around those provisions. And maybe they can come up with the analysis that says that the concern that Rosemary and I have is not a real one. I don't know the answer to that. I assume that they drafted the bylaws and looked at these kinds of issues. So that's why we're hesitant. This is the kind of issue that we're hesitant to raise it. We don't want to throw people under the bus. We don't want to cause a big blow-up, but as Rosemary says, we hear that and we look at one another and go, man, I'm not real comfortable with that judgment call. Would like to know the genesis of it. And maybe we should just reach out to Jones Day before we raise the issue publicly and ask for their, you know, how they came to that comfort level.
I think that's a sensible first step anyway.
So
There's also an element of judgment calls. They may have decided that while it's not ideal, the risk of it is not so substantial that they're not comfortable with it. I mean, not everything is black and white.
Right. Right. But that way we can at least have the discussion and then get a read on it. If you agree, we'll give them a call.
I think that would be useful.
I'd suggest to do that.
Okay, will do.
So, I'm sorry to backtrack
Rosemary,
a little bit.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I want to make sure, so as we're going through this set of first and second readings, I'm not quite sure whether you want us to resubmit comments after each first reading if they're comments that we've already given, or whether someone's going to use what we've already given you as part of their input.
I think we need to resubmit because there will be other changes and we're going to have to read it. So just like we did it was a very easy process. And I want to tell you, the co-chairs, it was not an expensive process to have Rebecca go back through the comments and look at the new material. And so I think that that's the best way to do it because it's the best way to make sure that we're, you know, focused on how things fit together.
Let me briefly jump in. We have this process of two readings. And I suggest that probably the most pragmatic forward is that we get feedback from you after the first reading of the respective recommendations. So you just tell us whether what we're doing is completely stupid or not, you know, because these are very short high-level summaries. If you spot something in there which you think can't be made work from a legal point of view, please do give us a heads up. And let's do the analysis, including the insertion of the previous comment after we provide you with a group's agreement after the second reading. Is that acceptable?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Holly, I'm losing a lot of this conversation, so I'm going to need to see your notes.
Yeah, I don't want to keep interrupting. Yeah, we'll figure it out, Rosemary. It sounds good to me, and we will. I'm assuming that staff is getting a good capture of what we're agreeing to, so we'll have it in writing. But that sounds all good to me, folks.
I have one last comment on the certification that's almost on its way to you on the legal risk in connection with the high-level human rights bylaw language. And Rosemary, I'm not sure whether you or Holly made reference to that basically you did not fully check that for risks. The reason why I think it makes sense to certify that question to you is that the board said we are now exposing ICANN to huge risks if we put in this bylaw language. And I think that at one point we had agreed that we would not, or I think we got information from you that we would not create additional risks for the organization if we proceed including something on human rights in the bylaws. And I guess we, in our response to the board's comments, we would need to understand whether the suggested inclusion of new language in the bylaws actually establishes new risks, or if there is a risk in there already by ICANN committing to abiding by international laws in its articles of incorporation. Because the difference would be that, you know, if there's a risk already, which we might not substantially increase, then the board's comment has to be seen in a different light than if we actually did establish brand new and substantial risks for the organization.
Right. So, and we're happy to address it formally when we receive the certification request. My sense is there are two kinds of risks that we're talking about. One is the legal risk of would you be found liable if? And the other risk is the risk will some idiot raise this issue and try to bring a suit against you, and then you've got to deal with the idiots of the world. And you know, there's no way to control for the idiots of the world, and they're always going to find something. So I look at this question, and to the extent is, if the question is it creating new liability risk? I think the answer is no. You're not contractually holding your, as we've advised you, the law already requires that you abide by a host of human rights types of provisions. By saying that you're going to, you know, comply with a sort of human rights generally, I don't think that you have taken on a contractual obligation to meet everybody's varying viewpoint of what human rights are. But it is one reason why we have to have some, you know, some identification of what you mean by human rights. And maybe that's why we want to use a best efforts kind of language or something like that when we get to the drafting stage. But you will, I mean, anytime, it seems like ICANN is a magnet for crazy people to make claims of all kinds. And so, to that extent, anytime you make a public statement about what you will or will not do, you run a risk that some lunatic is going to bring a lawsuit. Hopefully it's
but Holly, I guess that's exactly the type of information that we need. I'm just speaking personally here, and don't quote me on this, but I thought when I read the board comment that it's a comment to try pull wool over our eyes because they don't like the suggestions we're making in the first place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If ICANN is just spelling out that it will honor human rights, which it must anyway, then that can't, under any circumstances, create an additional legal risk. But actually, it might be a magnet for those who just want to find an opportunity to take an organization to court. And if the risk of transparency is a greater risk of exposure, then I think that's a risk that we have to accept if we want to take this organization to the next level.
Right. And we can certainly answer the question in that kind of fashion once it's certified.
Okay, great. Is there anything else we should be discussing today? I hadn't been there for the first few minutes when you set the agenda for the call, so I may have missed something.
No, I think this has been very productive and helpful to us. I hope you found it a worthwhile use of time in the middle of a crazy period of the day. I'm hearing Disney.
Yes, I'm very sorry about that. I cannot find a quiet place.
No worries. I think on that note, if the chairs don't have anything more, we should sign off.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you, everyone. And let's have a CCWG parade in Marrakesh, like they do in Disney.
Okay. Take care, everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye for
Thank
today.
You.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.